This is tape two of the interview with Ron Flynn. When the last tape ended, we were talking about board members and their work with or support for physical plant.
In the Hanna years, the only person that dealt with the board was John Hanna. I'm sure the secretary of the board did as well, but primarily John Hanna dealt with the board. And so it was understood that unless a board member called us, that's the way it was going to be. In subsequent years, it was much more open as far as our talking with board members. Marilyn Reinhart was the trustee that toured the buildings to look at deferred maintenance, the issue of deferred maintenance. And in fact, I still remind her when I occasionally see her, and she's quite pleased that I remember. She says, you're about the only one that remembers, that she pushed to have the infrastructure fee put in place for, on the tuition, which gives us revenues to address this issue. It's certainly not adequate, and we'd expected it to grow, but there were reasons that that didn't happen. But nonetheless, she carried that torch for us. In the last few years, under Peter McPherson's tenure, have had more contact with the trustees in doing presentations at board meetings, and especially in the as a result of Fred Poston becoming vice president of business and finance. So, but when Roger Wilkinson was here, I was always at the board meetings in the support role, so I knew them. Some of them I know more closely now than before. But it's again, I think, appropriate that, well, I had a call from a trustee the other day, but on an issue of concern. But the I think it's important that the administration in the ad building, the president's office, secretary of the board, the officers, the official officers of the university, are the ones who have the primary contact with the board. The model of Hanna wasn't all wrong, okay, and I do think that from a protocol point of view, that certainly if I have a contact from a trustee, I inform Fred Poston of that because he needs to know. And, you know, they do a wonderful job in their role as trustees, but at times they can be asking a question. I may not have all the information at hand, and so I'd have to make sure that what the message that gets to them that Peter and Fred and Luana are comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Have there been any major, in construction, things, you know, unintended or major difficulties. I'm thinking maybe of the cyclotron. I was a student here when that caught on fire. Were there any things like that unanticipated that highlight the last few years?
Well, the last few years, one of the most major things we had was the Ag Hall fire, mm-hmm. which took place on New Year's Eve, as you recall. And that was a catastrophe that caused a very rapid response, which happened, and we got things back into shape fairly soon. And of course, as you know, that was a terrorist act. We burned the top off the cooling tower quite a number of years ago, which was a deep challenge, but we had it back operating in less than a week, which mm-hmm. is a problem.
What time of year was that?
Just in the fall, and the students were to arrive in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And there was a question of whether we'd even pull it off. We pulled it off. Hmm. That's another story unto itself. those are the two that come the quickest to mind. Now, those are both fires. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we've had a major flood, and I believe it was 75. Interestingly, few people, I'm sure, realize that this year, just a couple, 3 weeks ago, when we had quite a runoff, at 8 feet, flood stage is described at 7 feet at the Farm Lane Bridge. Mm-hmm. 6 foot as banks are full. If by the auditorium, you just see the water is right up to the top of the banks. 7 foot, it's called flood. At 8 feet, we have to be placing sandbags over at the Circle IM building. There's a entrance to the basement. That's a pit that we have to start to sandbag. The peak, it crested, the river crested at 7.93 feet. We had filled sandbags and had them on a truck. Drowns had filled sandbags for us. And we were getting ready to move them in place when it didn't make 8 feet. It was that close. And so, but we have all these plans of action of such things. Grounds hazard snow removal for a major snowstorm. So there's, if you will, disaster responses. What do we do to cope with such things? Snowstorms and floods are natural occurrences that fortunately don't happen every year. Been a great many years since we've had a significant flood. In fact, what we just experienced was maybe in 15 years, the highest water level. And again, we had quite a snowstorm this year, but it's been quite a few years since we've had that. Sometimes we'll get some wind damage. But the campus, you know, I suppose that if you look at the whole big picture, that in the last few years that the biggest events that caused turmoil was some of the student rioting, if you will, which was unfortunate. But I think, again, under Peter's leadership, that's been getting contained. The right things are happening. He's really willing to take on some of these challenges right up front, mm-hmm. you know, and I know some of them must be very unpleasant, but it's our facilities are well built. Now, we did have a ceiling fall in Morrill Hall a number of years ago. I think it was late 80s. Fortunately, just boom. But it was a graphic display of that we have some old facilities on our hands. And you can't take it for granted that something won't happen like that. But we've inspected the rest of the buildings, and we feel quite comfortable that we're not going to have a reoccurrence of that type. In fact, there was one additional piece of ceiling in that Morrill Hall that we took down just to avoid anything like that happening again in that building. And that building is built in 1900. I mean, it's mm-hmm. now 101 years okay. old. Mm-hmm. So the... But for the most part, you know, other than occasional fire, and they've been accidental up to the Ag Hall fire and then the one that took place in Anthony, which is again was a terrorism attack on an office. You may recall a faculty member working with Mink, mm-hmm. and it was firebombed, and they also released Mink out on the farm, which mm-hmm. is...
And the fires were related, right, in terms of the... Possibly the same groups?
No, they were different.
The
Anthony Hall one was the animal rights people okay. protesting that we're doing research with animals like mink. Mm-hmm. And the one in Ag Hall is supposedly by the people who are against genetic foods.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. They're anti-genetic foods. So misguided individuals, obviously, that do things like this, but... they do it.
Where do you see the direction of the university in terms of the physical plant in the next, let's say, 20 years?
Well, I was asked to be a co-chair of the 2020 vision, master planning phase component two, which we're well into. And it's interesting to see, in fact, there's a meeting this afternoon and another one tomorrow, with our consultants out of Boston, Sasaki Associates, further along the various concepts and to refine the drawings. And so that's looking out in time 20 years. And it's not envisioned that we're going to have enormous construction, but we're going to have continued growth. But the size of the campus is going to remain about the same, same number of students. There'll be surprises. I point out to the group that the AHDL, which is under construction, the Animal Health Diagnostic Lab, to try to solve the TB problem with our dairy herds on this camp or in this state.
Mm-hmm.
Who could have envisioned that 4 years ago? Mm-hmm. Boom, it just popped up. The law school. Peter McPherson, that's another long story about how that started. He brought this private school, which still remains officially as a private school within Michigan State. Who would have envisioned that happening? It happened. There are other projects that we've had in the capital outlay request for decades, and they finally came to fruition. I'm now pointing out the plant and soil science building and our power plant additions, and some of those things. Plant and soil science building replaced Old Hort, and it was on the list of projects in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
and it got built in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. In the Wharton Center?
The Wharton Center was a replacement for the auditorium, but until the Whartons were willing to lead the charge for a fundraising effort, how in the world would we get an opera house? Mm-hmm. But we have it, and one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
As Mrs. Wharton said, it's probably too much to ask for a Cadillac, but I certainly want a Buick. And that was the philosophy of that facility. And that was originally designed with a third theater, which the state of Michigan wouldn't fund. We redesigned it. The crown jewel of this campus. And when you stop and think what we have here, I mean, truly, the kind of productions that are brought to the Wharton Center, the quality of them, the sports, how well we do in sports. You know, one thing about being with Michigan State University, you can go any place in this world and you say, I'm with Michigan State University. They know what you're about. They know you do good things. And the national spotlight or the international spotlight is in this campus almost weekly for something, whether it's a hockey team or the basketball team or some bit of new research that's been discovered, or we have another student who has won some honors. It's just story after story after story. I've had the good fortune of being in some volunteer groups. I was the international president of this APA group we spoke of. Ted Simon was as well. And we were on some spot, and my wife related this to me, the spouses were having a meeting, you know, just gathered together talking about stuff, and this one gal, she said, was talking about her school of doing such and such, and she says, well, you know, we do that at Michigan State. This guy looked at her and said, you do everything at Michigan State. You know, we're so big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really hard to, you know, we're here every day and we do all the things that we do, but it's hard. I have the advantage of going to New York once a year to visit the relatives. One of my brother-in-laws is just an absolute sports nut. And so, of course, he likes to go up to Syracuse and watch Syracuse. But he really, really is a fan of Michigan State. He's been here a few times. And that's where I get this, boy, this is a big place mm-hmm. and a great place.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good place to end our interview.
Okay.
I want to thank you on behalf of the project for your time.
You're welcome. I mean, mm-hmm. I, you know, this is a busman's holiday to talk about this place.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.